Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Well, let's take our Bibles, go to the book of John with me tonight. I want to look at a couple things out of here with the help of the Lord tonight. John tonight, chapter number 16. We're going to continue our study on basic Bible doctrines. John chapter number 16. We'll look at the doctrine of God the Holy Spirit tonight. Amen. I like studying this and looking at this. We'll see what we can learn tonight out of this. John chapter number 16. Then we're going to look at John 14 also. So keep your Bible open right there. We'll read a couple verses here. Amen. John chapter number 16. Tonight. Again, please be faithful on Sunday. Try to bring somebody with you. Amen. I'm looking forward to a good day on Father's Day. Amen. Of course, we have a gift for all the fathers. And then to the fathers, we're going to give away two really nice golf umbrellas with the church logo on them, like the church umbrellas we've got now. Those will be nice. Amen. John chapter number 16. You've been seated a little bit. Let's stand in honor and reverence the reading of God's Word. I'll read two verses, reading one here in chapter 14, one in 16, then we'll back up to 14 and read one. Then I'll pray and you can be seated. The Bible said this in John 16, verse number 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Chapter 14, verse number 26, the Bible says this. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And I want to talk to you tonight about the doctrine of God the Holy Spirit. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for being good to us. Thank you, Father, for first loving us, God. That's the reason we can love you today. God, I thank you, Lord, for the beautiful sunshine outside today, Father. Thank you, Lord, for health and strength. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us tonight. Now, as we look into your word, I pray, God, that you give us clarity of thought. God, give us clarity of speech, Father. I pray, Lord, that we would rightly divide the word of truth tonight, God. Thank you for your word, Father, as we've been studying our, Father, where our Bible come from, the King James Bible, the history of all over the past few days. God, I want to say thank you for the word of God tonight. Thank you, Lord, that I've got a Bible in my hand that I can read tonight. God, I pray, Lord, that, Lord, you'd help us to never take for granted your word, Father. Now, bless the reading of it tonight, and we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. Over the past few weeks, we've looked at the doctrine of God the Father. Then we looked actually three different messages on the doctrine of God the Son. Tonight we come to this study, the doctrine of God the Holy Spirit. The doctrine of God the Holy Spirit. And man, I tell you what, I've enjoyed studying the doctrine of God the Holy Spirit. We could really preach three messages on it and not even begin to scratch the surface, just like on the doctrine of God the Son. But I'm going to try to bring it all into one tonight and look at this on the doctrine of God the Holy Spirit. Let me begin by saying this. This is probably one of the most misunderstood doctrines in the Word of God. Probably one of the most misunderstood people or person in the Word of God. The Holy Ghost, and I'll say more about this in just a minute, is not an it or a thing. It is part of the Trinity. It's part of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen. But a lot of times, God the Holy Spirit and God the Holy Ghost is misinterpreted and misused. A lot of people are afraid, if you want to say it that way, of God the Holy Spirit or God the Holy Ghost. We have allowed the charismatic movement today to scare us as independent Baptists away from using the terminology Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. But I want to say something to you tonight. He's as much part of the Godhead as God the Son is and God the Father is. It's three in one, one in three, co-equal, co-eternal. Amen. We'll look at it tonight. Number one, let's look at a few things about God the Holy Spirit tonight. Number one, the proper recognition of the Holy Spirit. The proper recognition of the Holy Spirit. To properly understand the Holy Spirit, we must first find out what the Holy Spirit is and what he is not. There are some things the Holy Spirit is and some things the Holy Spirit is not. Can I say this to you? The Holy Spirit, and I've already said, but let me echo it again. The Holy Spirit is not an it. It is not an it. It moved on me tonight. No, the Holy Ghost moved on you tonight. I was asked this statement today. What is the difference when preachers sometimes get in the pulpit? It's as if they are a complete different person. And here's what I made the statement back. I said it's the unction of the Holy Spirit of God. It's not that an it come upon us. Have you ever been witnessing to somebody and while you was witnessing to them or talking to them, all of a sudden verses just began to come to your mind that you didn't even know that you knew? And you began to quote verses and the Lord began to give you thoughts that you hadn't even thought about in years and scripture to refer to. You know what that was? It was the unction of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So it is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is not a figment of some religious fanatic's imagination. He is not some fantasy. He is not just some figure of speech. He is a real living person. Also, he is not a substitute for God. He is not a servant of God. And he is not some second class God. The Holy Spirit is God. Amen. The Holy Spirit is God. The Trinity does not mean there are three gods. It means that there is one God who has chosen to manifest himself in three separate and distinct personalities. We know these three personalities to be God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ is as much God as God the Father is God. The Holy Spirit is just as much God as God the Father and God the Son is God. It's three in one and one in three. Amen. In Matthew chapter number 3, verse number 13, an excellent manifestation of the Trinity can be seen at the baptizing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we see God the Son coming out of the water, God the Spirit descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and God the Father from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Boy, that's the greatest picture of the Trinity that can be seen in the Word of God. There Jesus is being baptized. That's God the Son, God the Holy Spirit descending like a dove out of heaven, and God the Father saying, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." Also, we must understand that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are co-equal, co-eternal, and co-existence. Amen. The Holy Spirit is mentioned first in Genesis chapter number 1. Some people says verse number 2, but I disagree with that. It's mentioned first in Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 1, in the beginning God. That is the first mention of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You've heard me preach it for 3 or 4 weeks now. Uniplurality, whenever you study that out. That is the first mention. But then the second mention of God the Holy Spirit in the Word of God is Genesis chapter 1, verse number 2. The Bible says this, "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water." The Holy Spirit was present and active in the creation. So then we must conclude that the proper recognition of the Holy Spirit is this. He is a person. He is God. He is co-equal, co-eternal, co-existence with God the Father and God the Son. So the proper recognition of God the Holy Spirit is this. He is God. He's not an it. He's not a figment of our imagination. He is God. Amen. number two tonight. Not only the proper recognition, but here's really where I want to get to and center in at a little while tonight. The primary roles of the Holy Spirit. What is the primary role of the Holy Spirit? Well, I would say this to you. First of all tonight, the primary role of the Holy Spirit, He is inviting ministry to the sinner. He is inviting ministry to the sinner. You know who it was that stopped by and paid you a visit and showed you was lost and on the road to hell? God the Holy Spirit, amen. His inviting ministry. Let's look at this. This refers to the work of the Holy Spirit as He seeks out the sinner with the Word of God and invites him to come to the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Man, because of his depraved nature, will not come to the Lord on his own. The Holy Spirit must seek him and draw him to the Lord. I understand what people said sometimes, but they said, I went seeking Jesus at the church. Let me tell you the reason you went seeking Jesus at the church, because God the Holy Spirit comes seeking you and drawed you to the church. I went to find him. Let me tell you the reason you went to find him, because he done come and found you. Yeah, man, it was nothing in our own nature that drawed us to God. Matter of fact, our own nature pushes us away from God. Our own nature don't want us to have nothing to do with God. Our own nature wants us to die and go to a devil's hell. But is there anybody else thankful for the day that God sent the Holy Spirit to where you was at, in the condition you was in, headed to hell, not caring about God, and drawed... I'm supposed to be teaching, but I feel like preaching. Drawed you to Him. The inviting ministry of the sinner. He invites us to Him. A great type of this can be seen in Genesis chapter number 24. You remember when Abraham sent the servant to find Isaac a bride, and that servant went out in the land of Mesopotamia and found him a bride. Boy, and I preached that before, and man, it makes me want to flip over there and pull some notes out of my Bible and preach it right now. But my soul, what a great picture of the Holy Spirit, amen, drawing us to Him. So number one, when we think about the primary roles of the Holy Spirit, we see His inviting ministry to the sinner. But number two, we see His indwelling ministry to the saved. His indwelling ministry to the saved. Boy, I sure am glad that He is indwelling within me. Amen? He is indwelling within me. Let's think about some of this tonight. This simply means that after a person is birthed into the family of God by the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in the body of that new Christian. Christ moved in me, John 14:16, Ephesians 1:13, 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, deals with the Holy Spirit moving into our life. The Holy Spirit then plays a vital role in helping that Christian live the Christian life. I can't live the Christian life without Him. I must have the help of the Holy Spirit of God. When I got saved, God just didn't push me back out into the world with no help. Amen? But the night I got saved, and I'll say more about this in just a little while, but the night I got saved, the Holy Spirit indwelled in me. He moved into my life, amen? And from that moment on, He has been living inside of me, allowing me to do what I do for Him. Let's take just a minute, and if you want these, I'm going to say them faster than you can write them down. I don't mind shooting it to you after service, but let's take a minute to mention some of the roles of the Holy Spirit in the child of God. He has a ministry of consolation in John 14. He has a ministry of education in John 16. He has a ministry of glorification in John 16, a ministry of administration in John 16, a ministry of liberation in Romans 8 and 2 Corinthians 3. And can I just say this? That is set free, amen. That song says a liberated soul cannot sing about being bound for long without looking back and realizing what Jesus done for him. It was the Holy Spirit that liberated me. He set me free. Amen. He set me free. The bondage of sin and the bondage of the world that I once carried, the Holy Spirit liberated me from that. He has a ministry of liberation. He has a ministry of identification in Romans 8. He has a ministry of supplication in Romans 8. A ministry of supplication. I love those verses where he talks about when we pray with groanings which cannot be uttered, but the Holy Spirit maketh intercession for us. Amen. There's times when I don't know what to pray. There's times I'm so broken, I don't know what to say, but the Holy Spirit takes my utterance to the Father, amen, or takes them to the Son, and the Son sitting at the right hand looks over at the Father and makes intercession for us. It's a ministry of identification, of supplication. There's a ministry of preservation in Ephesians 4 and 1 John 4. What did he say? He said that we are sealed. We are sealed by who? The Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. He seals us when we get saved. The Holy Spirit seals me. I do not keep my salvation. I'm not the one keeping it. You say, well, I can lose it. To say you can lose it is to say that you can have authority over the Holy Spirit and pull His seal off. Amen. I'll give you a Bible. I'm not going to argue with you. I'll give you facts. The Holy Ghost sealed me. I didn't seal myself. My works don't seal me. The Holy Ghost. Amen. Brother Jonathan, preach right there. Lord, I believe I will. The Holy Ghost sealed me. There's a ministry of preservation. He has sealed us. Amen. So we see this. We see the inviting ministry to the sinner, the primary role of the Holy Spirit. We see the indwelling ministry to the saved, but let me look at this one for a little bit tonight. We see His infilling ministry for service. His infilling ministry for service. He fills us up to do what we do. We cannot do it without Him. We cannot do it. We can read all we want to. We can study all we want to. We can pray all we want to. But if we don't have the unction of the Holy Ghost of God and the power of the Holy Ghost resting upon us, we will be a failure every time we stand to preach, every time we stand to teach, every time we stand to sing. We have to have the Holy Spirit. His infilling ministry for service. Now, I want you to stay with me right here. I'm going to cover a lot of ground real quick, but I want you to stay with me. If you'll study the Word of God seriously, you'll find that the Holy Spirit comes unto a sinner with His inviting ministry. He comes into a saint with His indwelling ministry. He comes upon the servant of God with His infilling ministry to give them power for service. That'll help you right there if you'll get a hold of it. Can I say it again? He comes into a saint, amen. Look at this. If you'll study the Word of God, the Holy Spirit comes into a sinner with His inviting ministry. Comes into a saint with His indwelling ministry. But He comes upon a servant of God, which allows him to do what he does. There's confusion among Christians today about the Spirit-filled life. There's nowhere in the Scripture, now stay with me, there's nowhere in the Scripture that you are told to seek the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We're told in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. The moment that a person is born again, he is baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. It is not something you seek. It is a part of your salvation. The day I got saved, he moved in. He indwells in my life ever since the day I got saved. Amen. Think about this. Ephesians 5:8. Christians are commanded to be filled with the Spirit of God. Notice what he said, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be what? Filled with the Spirit of God. We're commanded. It's not an option. It's a commandment. But be filled with. He didn't ask you to do it. He commands us to do that. This command is given to every child of God. There's a great difference between baptized by the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit. If you'll study the literal meaning of the two words, baptized and filled, you'll understand the difference. Let me give them to you. To be baptized means that one is put into something. But to be filled means something is put into an individual. Amen. Y'all might not get nothing out of this, but I'm liking it. Listen, let me say that again. To be baptized means that one is put into something. But to be filled, amen, means something is put into someone. You see, I'm not putting myself into something. There's something getting put into myself. I can't put myself into it, but it can put itself into me. Amen. When a person is filled with the Holy Spirit, he will have the power of God upon his life. To be filled with the Holy Spirit literally means the Christian has completely yielded control of his life to the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit means there must be a continuous inflow, a continuous overflow, and a continuous outflow of the Spirit of God in a person's life. When this happens, the Holy Spirit will use the person in God's service for the glory of God. You say, preacher, I'm going to go witness to this person. You better pray that the Holy Ghost fills you while you do. Amen. You say, preacher, I'm going to the jail. You better pray that the Holy Ghost is all over you and running out of you if you're going. I promise you, one of the most demonic places you'll ever go in your life is a jailhouse. I'm telling you, man, I've done it for 5 years. We've got to have the feeling of it. Now, I'm gonna hit this a little bit because I need to. There's much talk in our day about evidence of the Spirit-filled life. What is the evidence of being Spirit-filled? Contrary to false teaching of many, the different groups today, there is not one verse in the entire Bible that teaches a person will speak in an unknown tongue when he's filled with the Holy Ghost. Not one verse you'll find for our day and age that the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit has surely got a Honda. Sold it, bought a Kawasaki. Are you with me? You'll not find that. You'll not find that. Not one single verse in the entire Bible teaches this. When the power of the Holy Ghost come upon a person, he will bear witness unto the resurrection of our Lord. Listen to this in Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. What was the evidence of it? They was witnesses of God. They was witnesses of God. There's only one baptism of the Holy Ghost, but a person may be filled with the Spirit of God many times. In the following scriptures, I want you to notice two things. The same people are being filled again and again with the Holy Spirit, and every time, without exception, they bore witness of the resurrected Lord. Notice Acts 2:4, on the day of Pentecost, They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This was not some kind of jibber-jabber. I like the way Brother Blue put that. Not some kind of jibber-jabber, unknown tongue, which no one understood, but rather they were speaking in different languages of the people to whom they were speaking. The word language in Acts 2:6 and the word tongue in Acts 2:8 comes from the same Greek word. What were they saying? Notice what they said in Acts 2:11. We do not hear them speak in our tongues, or we do hear them speak in our tongues, the wonderful, watch this, works of God. What was they doing? They was magnifying Christ. You say, preacher, what is evidence of the filling of the Holy Ghost of God? Your life will represent Christ. That's what it is. You'll not walk the way you want to walk. You'll not talk the way you want to talk. You'll not act the way you want to act. You'll represent Christ in everything you do. That's evidence of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Number one, the proper recognition of the Holy Spirit. Number two, the primary roles of the Holy Spirit. Number three tonight, look at this, the personal relationship of the Holy Spirit. Boy, this is good. The personal relationship of the Holy Spirit. Since the Holy Spirit is a person, those who are saved can have a personal relationship with Him. How sweet it is when there is no hindrances in the life of a child of God, and he enjoys the precious relationship and the precious communion with the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? Boy, what a great relationship we can have with the Holy Spirit of God. There is nothing like walking and talking with the Lord. Some of the times early in the morning, whenever I'll go outside, and sometimes it's too hot to walk outside right now, so you go to the gym where it's air conditioned and fans are blowing. But anyway, if you're going to run in the early mornings, and a lot of times I'll put earbuds in, and that way I don't hear myself out of breath. It really works, chewing gum, put earbuds in. But anyway, sometimes I'll just take them out when I'm outside because I like to hear the birds as they chirp, and the bison as they grunt. Not anybody can just walk around and listen to the bison grunt, but I can. Are you hearing me now? You said, pray, what are you? It's that fellowship with the Holy Spirit of God. That fellowship, boy, there's no fellowship like that fellowship with Him. Since the Spirit of God is a person, He has feelings. His feelings can be hurt, thus hindering the personal relationship with Him, thus hindering your personal relationship with Him. But I want to say something to you. We've got to be careful not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. I've said this many times. If I grieve God the Father, God the Son's there to go on my behalf. If I grieve God the Son, God the Holy Spirit's there to go on my behalf. If I grieve God the Holy Spirit, ain't nobody else there to go on my behalf. Our relationship, we must be careful. That personal relationship. Let me give you a few things about it. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 4. Don't quench the Holy Spirit in 1 Thessalonians 5. Don't despise the Holy Spirit in Hebrews 10. Don't ignore the Holy Spirit in Revelations 2 and Revelations 3. Don't ignore the Holy Spirit. Don't lie to the Holy Spirit, Acts 5. Don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit in Matthew 12. Don't resist the Holy Spirit in Acts 7, Genesis 3, and Isaiah 63. So number one tonight, I'm about done. Number one, we look at the proper recognition of the Holy Spirit, the primary roles of the Holy Spirit, the personal relationship of the Holy Spirit. And I want to just echo this again. You need that relationship with Him. You need that relationship with Him. You say, well, preacher, how will I know if that's hindered? You'll know. You'll know. Do you know if your relationship with your spouse is hindered? You'll know. You'll go to try to talk to him, and I'll just say it this way, and it's nothing derogatory towards the Holy Spirit. You'll go to try to talk to him and you'll get the cold shoulder. Are you anybody ever experienced the cold shoulder in your marriage before? My daddy said, yeah, over there. I've experienced mama's cold shoulder too, and son, I mean, it's got icicles hanging off of it. And she had that replacement, so it's all bionic now, and it's really cold now. He'll give you the cold shoulder. You'll not have that. You'll try to pray, and it'll seem as your words are not getting above the roof of your mouth, any less the top of your head or to the ceiling. Why? Because we've grieved the Holy Spirit of God. Number four. I'll give you this and we'll go home. The power required of the Holy Spirit. The power required of the Holy Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to do what we do today. To do. You know what? There's a lot of preachers today. Let me back up and I'm going to rephrase that statement. There's a lot of guys today that can stand up and give you a motivational speech out of the Bible. I wouldn't say that they're preachers, because a preacher has a divine anointing on his life. There's a lot of hirelings today that, and can I just say something to you? Anybody can read two or three chapters and study two or three chapters and stand up and give you an educated book report on it. Amen. Amen. But I'm not interested in an educated book report. I'm interested in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm interested in the anointing. I heard a preacher say this one time. He said, we're foolish to ask for the power of the Holy Spirit on our life. He said, we are wanting to be equal with God when we ask for the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit on our life. And I wanted to say after his service, that's the reason your words was just babbling tonight and it had no touch on it. Hear me, I gotta have the Holy Spirit of God. I've gotta have the power of God in my life. Amen. You said, preacher, do you ask for that on a daily basis? I know I've said this many times in recent days, but we have not because we ask not. If you don't have the power of God on your life and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God and the unction of the Holy Spirit of God in your life, you better find yourself in a prayer closet somewhere and grab a hold of the horns of the altar and beg God to forgive you for whatever you've done and hindered that relationship and restore that relationship of the Holy Ghost. We've got to have it tonight. We've got to have it. There are some things that the Holy Ghost can do that nobody else can do. Think about this with me tonight. We do much planning, much programming, and much promoting in our churches, but we do not see much power of the Holy Spirit demonstrated. What good is it if we plan and we promote and we have programs, but we don't have the power? What good, man, the choir practiced on Sunday night and knocked it out on a new song. Man, I hope they sing it Sunday morning. I'm telling you, bloated out in choir practice on a new song. But hear me and hear me well. What good is it if the power of God is not resting on it? What good are you as a Sunday school teacher from the youngest to the oldest if the power of God's not resting on you? What good are you as a soul winner if the power of God is not resting on you? What good are you as a godly wife if the power of, amen, if the power of the Holy Ghost is not resting upon us? 1 Corinthians 2:4 said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Let me tell you where the power's at. It's in the Spirit of God. Here's five things that's impossible for an individual or a church to do apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. Miss Tina, will you come start playing softly? Only the power of the Holy Spirit can convict a sinner. Only the power of the Holy Spirit can convict of sin. That's it. Hey, look, I can preach till I'm blue in the face, but if the Holy Ghost don't convict the sin, it's no good. Only the power of the Holy Spirit can convert the sinner. You know what? I can I can go to a hog lot and get a hog out of it and bring it home. And I can wash that hog. I can shampoo it. I can put conditioners on it. I can put a ribbon on its tail and turn it loose in the yard. And the first time it rains, you know what it's going to do? It's going to go jump in a mud hole. You can bring people to church. You can do all you want to do to them. But until the power of the Holy Ghost convicts them and converts them, they'll go right back to the hog lot again. Amen. Only the power of the Holy Spirit can convict of sin, convert the sinner. Conduct the services. I had a guy say this in 2016, and I've had people say this even since then, but in 2016 when we had that revival that went 5 weeks, had a guy come up to me one night after service, and here's what he said. He said, "You're the moderator, right?" And I said, "The Holy Ghost is." He said, "Well, man, you wasn't in the pulpit hardly any." He said, "You just got up and said, good to be here. This and singing, here comes the preacher." He said, "Isn't the moderator supposed to do more than that?" I said, "No, the moderator's supposed to get out of the way and let the Holy Ghost take it. Only the Holy Spirit can conduct the services." Amen. We got to have him. Only the power of the Holy Spirit can comfort the saint. Only the power of the Holy Ghost can do that. I try my best when things go south to be there for our people. I've sat with some of y'all in the midnight hours and watched the sun go down and the sun come back up together with your loved ones. But you know what? I can only do so much. But when I walk away, when the others walk away, and you're laying in the bed by yourself, or you're riding up the road by yourself, or you're just in your prayer closet, or you're reading the Word of God, and all of a sudden something starts turning inside your soul, and something says, "Hey, everything's going to be all right." Let me tell you what, it's the Holy Ghost of God that comforts us tonight. I can't do it. Dad can't do it. But I'm going to tell you right now, hey, the Holy Ghost can do it. Only the power of the Holy Ghost can do that. Only the power of the Holy Ghost can conquer old Satan. Only the power of the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you the way you get victory over sin in your life, through the power of the Holy Ghost. That's the way you do it. Amen. God the Father, God the Son. But boy, I sure am thankful for God the Holy Ghost tonight. Let's stand with our